نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، it is felt that one is certain programs are official and announced. However, this is a very informal type of program, just get together, and just felt that an opportunity should be given to those of us that are present here, that if anyone has any questions that needs some answers, then either in the form of writing, or even now, if anyone has any questions, those can be put forward, keeping in mind that if there is a child that is, if a student is in grade 5, then you don't pose those questions to him which a matriculant will be given. You won't be able to answer because it's beyond him. So therefore, whatever is within our capacity, something basics, if there's anything that you can shed light on with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then an attempt will be made. But of course, if it is beyond us, then we'll refer it to whomsoever is appropriate for that question. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, when it came to Islahi questions, then he used to say that whatever your Islahi questions are related to your purification of the soul, your amal, etc., then that, because that is what the Shaykh is for, he is there to assist in the spiritual reformation of a person. So yes, those types of questions, or those questions, you refer them here. But you should say that for your other masail, when it comes to fiqhi masail, those that are related to fiqh, sometimes a person wants to know regarding something, it's halal or haram, it's permissible or impermissible. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, even in Aam Majlis, he used to mention this, that choose a mufti of your choice. Get a mufti of your choice, and you can forward and direct those types of questions that are related to that to him. Sometimes it can happen that a person, yes, he's a Shaykh al-Kamil, but he doesn't have to be a mufti as well. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, he was not an alim in the sense that we know that a person has studied in Darul Uloom or something. And those that benefited from him were giants like Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, a great faqih of his time, a jurist of his time, and the great alim, Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanutwi Rahmatullah Ali. These were great ulama that went to the feet of Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, although he wasn't an alim. So when it came to masail, of course, the masail there, but when it came to masail of suluk, of course, and of spiritual reformation, then that they made rujoo to him. But when there were masail that are related to fiqh, or fiqhi related masail, then Allah Ta'ala had blessed them that knowledge that they could. In fact, our Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Ali, in spite of being such a great muhaddith, he was the muhaddith of his time, but his one murid, or his one khalifa, was someone who we all know and may have heard his, we should have heard his name, as Mufti Mahmud Hasan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. So although Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Ali was a muhaddith, that when it came to sometimes fiqhi masail, then he referred that to as Mufti Mahmud Hasan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. So these things we do find that in the mashayikh, sometimes someone is, yes, as far as tasawwuf and suluk is concerned, they have the full knowledge of it. And we find that even the likes of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, sometimes certain of his khulafa were not ulama. Certain of his khulafa, like Dr. Abdul Hayy Rahmatullah Alayh, who was the khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, or one very famous khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, whose ash'ar we read, the Khaja Azizul Hasan Madzub Rahmatullah Alayh. He was not an alim. So this tasawuf is not that those masail that are related to fiqh, that is a different department. So however, we do find that these types of people that were not alims in that sense of the word, where they had gone to a darul uloom or completed that course, and only they be fit to be given khilafat. This was the khilafat that was given, was based on the spiritual condition of the person. The spiritual of the condition of the person determined that, and that too, the spiritual condition of the person whilst he was in front of the sheikh or with the sheikh at that time, because it could happen also that sometimes the sheikh gives the ijazat on the spiritual condition of the person whilst he is in front of him or whilst he's got ta'alluq with him. And after that ijazat is given or that permission is given, then when the person separates or is away from, then such types of weaknesses begin settling into the person, and people start making comments and start passing comments that how is this person given ijazat? And these are his akhlaq and this is his character. So it needs to be known that the ijazat that was given was not based on this type of character that was displayed in front of the sheikh. When the sheikh gave the ijazat, that it was based on that time. So there could be that thereafter the person didn't keep up the taluk or whatever, there could be a decline in his akhlaq and whatever. And because of that he's reached it. We find sometimes the sheikh himself, sometimes he snatches or he cancels the khilafat and the ijazat. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, once when Khalifa came to him, and they, of course, we know that it's traveling by, you know, train, and so he brought along with him his son, and generally they in these types of countries, even here to some time, we do know, we've heard this word of concession. And a person, you get a student's concession, or you get a child concession, that is a child, then you know you get 50% off or 75% depending, or sometimes it's free, an infant. So this particular child, whatever the age limit, just for understanding purposes, if it was say 12 years old, and within 12 the child is he qualifies for a concession. So this child was brought by this Khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, and so Hazrat asked him that this child you brought is my son, what's his age? His age is 13. Did you buy a full ticket for him, or did you buy a concession ticket for him? The other, no, I bought a concession ticket for him. Why you bought a concession ticket? Said, no, although he is 13, but he passes as at maybe 11 years, small in build. So Hazrat was very, very disturbed on that. Hazrat became extremely disturbed on that, because as far as Hazrat was concerned, and one outstanding feature of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh is muamlat, dealings. So Hazrat cancelled his khilafah. They say, you're not fit to be, because you don't understand these simple and basic things, then what trust can you have in one place? There was one person, one youngster, he was in a masjid, and there were people around, so as long as there were people, they, in those days, no electricity, so no lights like this, so they used to use the lamps, these paraffin lamps, or oil lamps. So as long as everyone was in the masjid, this youngster sat, and when everyone left, so this youngster, he put that light out, he extinguished that lamp, and so some observer there mentioned, and he commented, and this youngster carried on sitting there. So this person commented, he said, it seems that this youngster has got taluk with Tanabon. It seems that this youngster has got some relationship with the Tanwir Abdullah Ali. What was the message that this person understood? Basically, that lamp that is there is for the use of the masjid, for the musallis of the masjid, for all those that frequent the masjid. And now when it's just me and my own, and I don't need to be sitting in the masjid itself, so just for my own benefit, I'm using the masjid light, which is incorrect now, muamalat. So then when they found out, it was established that he did have taluk with Tanamun or the Tanwir Abdullah Ali. So this is the benefit, of course, of this taluk. Now we were talking of from the Khilafat thing, where sometimes Khilafat is given to those that are not alims as well. So it is not that the person has to be an imam, or he has to be an expert in every field of deen, every field of Shariat. Yes, in his field he must have, in other words, the field of Islah, that field he must have that knowledge. And other than that, the other fields of deen, like for instance, if I remember on one occasion, one great alim king, Hazrat Qazi Mujahidul Islam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, very great jurist. So he came to South Africa, and amongst the places that he visited, he came to Mzinto. So I can still remember, you know, sitting on the bench outside my late father's house, and I was fortunate that it was just him and myself at that particular time. So there was one question that I asked Qazi Sahib. The fact that he is a Qazi, is a judge, that itself suggests that who he is and what knowledge Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with and whatever else. So I asked him a question, my childishness in any case. I asked him a question related to some aspect of Qirat. You know, in the Quran Majeed, something I asked him. So now imagine being a Qadi, and this is the beauty of it, that he mentioned that, listen, this answer I won't be able to give you. So you ask the Qurra this. On one occasion, Hazrat Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, the student of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali, such a great personality, and what immense knowledge Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with. So someone came along and asked him a question. So he replied, he said, La Adri, I don't know, I don't have the answer to this question of yours. So I asked him another question, and he gave the same answer, La Adri, I don't know, I am unable to give you the answer to this question. And then few questions like that, the person became upset, and he was a Qadi. So he said, listen, I'm asking you question upon question, and every question you are saying that, you know, La Adri, La Adri, I don't know, I don't know, I don't have the knowledge. So what are you being paid for? What are you being paid for? So he says, this is precisely what I'm being paid for the little knowledge that I have. If I was only paid for what I don't know, I would have been paid much more. If I was being paid for what I don't know, the knowledge which I don't have, I would have been paid a much better salary. So for the little that I know, that is... So however, a person doesn't have to know everything. In any case, we just started from the fact that if there's anyone that has any questions that may need So then maybe for my benefit the answer, and for the benefit of the others that are seated here. So you're most welcome to either write it and send it, or question whilst we are seated here. Don't, it's very informal, so don't hesitate as far as these things are concerned. Is anyone that has any questions for now? Is Bilal? It is the grace of Allah Ta'ala, as Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity to be in this environment, to be spending our time in His house. This is the grace, fadl, it is the ihsan, favor of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala has made this possible for us. We need to appreciate this ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, this gift of Allah Ta'ala. There's, of course, you know, when there's a person, Allah forbid, if a house is flooded, something of that nature happens, after everything subsides, we need to clean that house. The owner needs to, we need to start doing a cleanup. Now, sometimes we find that when we go into the house, everything is upside down. You don't know what to do and where to start from. And a person is confused. And the person is confused, fair enough, that may be his state at the outset. But he cannot remain in that condition. He has to do something. He has to start somewhere. Irrespective of how unpleasant he is feeling about the situation. But he has to start cleaning up somewhere. He has to start doing something, moving something, so that he can make a start and then from there move to the next step. So if he just gets excited about it, he just feels disappointed, he feels hurt about it, or whatever, and then he just sits, there's nothing going to happen, that house is not going to be cleaned. So whether it means starting from a room on the inside, or the lounge, or the dining room, somewhere he has to start cleaning up. So similarly, we find that our spiritual homes, our spiritual hearts, sometimes are in disarray. We find that so many things that we have within our hearts, there's so many problems, that spiritual problems that we have, that we are walking around with. Now when Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq, then now you start thinking that where do I start? And sometimes what's happened is it becomes so overwhelming because there's so many things, there's so many aspects. Now when I look at my salah is not right. When I look at my gaze is not right. Then when I worry about my tongue is not right. And then when I worry, when I look at, when I concentrate on what I listen to, then that is not right. It's been various aspects that I look into as far as my life is concerned. I find everywhere there's some problem or the other. Now this person, it is like that house which has been flooded. Everything is upside down. Now in order to put the thing right, if he just gives up hope and says that every department of my life and of my spiritual life is in disarray, everything is upside down, and if he just gives up hope, then he's not going to make any progress like that. So what we need to do, that when a person is in that type of a situation, and many of us find ourselves in this type of a situation where it is not just one department or one aspect of our deeni life that we need to put right, but there are several aspects. Sometimes it is our mu'amalat that are not right, sometimes it is our mu'asharat, you know, our dealing, our business dealing sometimes may not be right, sometimes our social dealings may not be right, sometimes our ibadat are not right, we have sometimes qaza salah to be read, sometimes it is mu'amalat, sometimes it is our dealings with others, in the sense that sometimes we have did someone down, or then maybe we have spoken ill of someone, or we have broken relationship with someone. Now these are all departments of deen, different departments of deen. Now the different departments of deen, of course a person cannot put everything right at one time, but at the same time you need to start somewhere. So Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq, for instance, Allah Ta'ala has given tawfiq, we have come in, we have made tawbah. Now tawbah from all the sins that we have. One is collectively, Ya Allah, whatever sins I have committed, collectively, Ya Allah, forgive all my sins, my major sins, my minor sins, everything. But then that is sometimes not sufficient. If, for instance, there's qaza on a person, qaza salah on a person, then together with the tawbah that the person makes, now you've got to start performing the qaza. My Shaykh Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to mention that, say if a person has qaza rozas to keep, he's got qaza rozas to keep. Now Allah Ta'ala gave him tawfiq that this year, in this Ramzan, say for instance today, Allah Ta'ala gave the person the tawfiq to make sincere tawbah. He sit comfortably, you don't, there's nothing formal. Let's sit however we are comfortable, please. So the person, Allah Ta'ala gives him the tawfiq of making sincere tawbah. Now this person has made sincere tawbah today. Right. It is the month of Ramzan Sharif. In spite of making sincere tawbah, and also the fact that those qaza rozas have to be kept, but can he keep it now? He can't keep it now. Why? It's Ramzan Sharif rozas. It is the rozas of Ramzan which are farz now. These days are specific. You cannot take a qaza of the past and keep it now and say, now today's roza, I'll keep it at some other time. There are exceptions to that. Just from a fiqhi point of view, if a person, for instance, he's a musafir, now he's excused and whatever. So there are exceptions to this, but we're not looking at from a masala point of view, from that type of masala point of view. If you're looking at it just straightforward and practically, the rozas that are qaza, he will have to keep it after Ramzan Sharif, not during Ramzan Sharif. Now, during Ramzan Sharif, he will have to keep the ada of Ramadan al-Mubarak. Let's take another scene, that a person, Allah Ta'ala gives him tawfiq on the day of Eid to make tawbah from this type of a sin where he broke some roza or he didn't keep a roza. On the day of Eid, say the night of Eid, Allah Ta'ala gave him the tawfiq. Now, can he keep roza on the day of Eid? As much as he wants, so it's haram to keep on that day. So he won't be able to keep. So certain things will be postponed. The niyat must be there, of course. The niyat to make the qaza must be there. So one is the tawbah itself, and together with that, if there is need to make to cover up for whatever has been lost. In other words, if there's qaza, then that the niyat must be there that, Ya Allah, in the first available opportunity, I will keep the roza. The same applies to our salah. If salah is qaza, or we need to repeat, a person cannot repeat all the qaza at one time. There will be stages, the person gradually, whether one with each salah and so forth, the person will continue keeping performing the qazas. However, as far as tawbah is concerned, there's generally three conditions that are attached to sincere tawbah, after which it will be regarded as a person has made sincere tawbah. These three conditions generally we are familiar with, we know these three conditions. And one is that the person has to stop immediately from the sin, abstain from the sin, keep away from the sin. That is number one. Number two, the person must have regret and remorse in the heart over the sin that he's committed. Now, listen, when we talk of sins, let us remember very clearly. Let's see, sometimes the human mind is such, or the human weakness is such, that when we talk of sometimes these types of things, then I'm thinking of the next person, or that person is thinking of that person. The reality is this, my Shaykh Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that when these types of things are discussed, each one does, a stock take of himself and looks at his own. So let us not bother think about who... the next person is, or what his downfalls are, or what his weaknesses are. I look into my own self, the speaker included, that listen, we know, each one knows what filth he carries, and each one knows the burden that he's carrying, each one knows the gunas that he's committed in the past, and what types of evil actions that I've committed in the past. Each one knows his or her own sins. So let us not worry about the next person, I worry about myself. So however, one is that There must be deep regret and remorse in the heart over the sin that has been committed. This is the second condition. And of course, the third condition is this, that to make a pledge with Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I will not return to the sin. Yes, accidental, my Shaykh Al-Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali used to mention that accidental sin. A Muslim is not a person who deliberately commits a sin. A Muslim is not a person that deliberately, purposely goes and commits a sin. Yes, accidental sin. Hazrat several times mentioned this. Accidental sin. A person was, he just slipped and fell. Now, the person doesn't deliberately go and put his foot on a banana peel to slip. Nobody, no sensible person does that. Yes, but a person is walking on the pavement, he didn't see the peel, and he put his foot went onto the peel and he slipped and he fell. That is a different thing. So a mu'min and sins, he doesn't deliberately commit sins. Yes, if he just got caught out in a situation and the sin was committed, at that time, Hazrat Abdullah Ali used to mention, make plentiful of tawbah. Person got caught up in something, suddenly, must immediately reflect, make tawbah again, join the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, and continue. That is why Hazrat Abdullah Ali used to mention that, you know, those ash'ar in which he used to mention, Jo so bar toote, do so bar jore. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, Jo so bar toote, do so bar jore. That this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always keep it. Even if it has to snap and break 100 times, mend it 100 times. In other words, if we made tawbah, and at the time of tawbah there was sincerity in everything that we, and the conditions were fulfilled, then alhamdulillah, and then after that, if that action was committed again, or another sin happened to it, then make tawbah again. Even if this has to happen 100 times, though so bar toote, if this relation has to break and snap 100 times, so bar toote, don't leave it at that and be complete and say, okay, now listen, I've done, so I'm going to be, no, immediately make tawbah again and make this azm again and make this pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, that Ya Allah, I will not do this. Ya Allah, I was overcome by nafs and shaitan. Ya Allah, I've committed this guna, I've committed this crime, and the person, inshallah, Allah ta'ala will give him the tawfiq, and then he'll continue. However, these are the three common conditions of tawbah. There is one fourth condition of tawbah which some have mentioned and highlighted, and it is something that is very, very important as far as to assist a person to stay on his tawbah, to remain steadfast on his tawbah. It helps greatly if a person can only take this into consideration and implement it. The fourth condition that some mention is this, that those things that led this person to make that and to indulge in that guna, those things that led the person to indulge in that guna, then he must distance himself from those aspects as well. Basically, we will call it the asbab, the sabab, the means to that guna. Now, that covers a broad aspect. Now, there's so many things that get us involved in guna. For instance, today, the one, you know, the word that is generally used when explaining this, they use the word friend. You know, those friend or the company that causes person to commit that guna. Now, if we have to broaden and expand this, now generally when we look at a friend or when we think of a friend, then we will think of a friend to be of a humankind. Okay, that is what will occur to us immediately because the word that is used is friend. But how if it is not always a friend in humankind that leads a person into sin. It is not always, and today especially, many a times and many an instances we find that it is not a friend of the humankind, but the humankind himself has created such types of things that it replaces the human being. Now, for instance, if we just take the cell phone, right? Now, especially those that have got the internet and everything else, there are so many that get involved in gunas because of the cell phone. And it is done so discreetly that sometimes, unfortunately, even in masjids, youngsters, unfortunately, Allah safeguard and protect all of us, that right in the masjid, and a person will be sitting next to you or stay at the rear end of the masjid, and we will not even know what he is browsing through and what he is doing. Now, this is how dangerous this is. Now, if this has become a means of him indulging in that guna, then we are not going to say that, listen, there is no friend, so it doesn't. Now, so therefore we will term this as anything that has led him to that guna, whether it is a friend in humankind or whether it is a companion. A companion, this, our cell phones have become our companions. Wherever we go, we are carrying that piece. If it is not the cell phone, then it is friends of the humankind sometimes, because of our association with them, getting together with them, it leads us into various and different types of problems, difficulties, gunas and sins and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever it may be, whether it is the cell phone, now to some the problem comes in, the sin, the indulgence in sin comes because of literature. I'll say, if you take magazines, not long ago a youngster came and he said that, you know, I've got a problem. There was a problem. He says, I like to read novels. So I said, well, you know, if you're reading, you know, maybe 10, 15 pages, you know, bring it down to 5 pages, and over a period of time, wean yourself off it, you know. So he said, no, I read something, 1 novel a day. Right. Now, people that are addicted to these types of things. So now, these are, now, sometimes there are certain types of things, okay, you can, you know, you can wean someone off, but sometimes certain things need to be stopped immediately. So however, if a person is ruining his life through literature, through magazines, now, we're not going to say that, listen, he's got no friends, or no. Now, that is a thing via which this fitna is coming in. Now, when the fitna is coming in through that route, then you need to stop that. Now, each one will, now say for instance, if it is an alim, or if it is a hafiz, now, there's something he is being ruined through, and that is through pride. Right. Now, I'm standing on the musalla, and you know, I'm reading beautifully, I'm making no mistakes. Now what's happening is that pride is coming into me, that I know my Quran very well. That pride comes. Now where is it coming in? Now these are the types of thoughts. Now you have to put a break there. Now he's got no cell phone, he's got no friends, he's got no literature, he's got no magazines, but he's got a killer disease. He's got a killer disease. What are we going to say there? We're not going to type through your cell phone, because it's not coming through the cell phone. And you're not going to tell him, just associate with your friends, because he's got no friends. Now, the enemy is inside. So that is where you need to put a stop. So whatever is the means for this destruction, and whatever is the means for this person to engage in this type of a sin, whatever it may be, everyone's sin is of a different type. And sometimes it will be observed that for one person, certain sin may not mean any sin. For instance, a person who is in a business, and a person who is in a madrasa sitting in a hifz class, there's vast difference between the two. The person who is there in a business, he is confronted with so many things. He is confronted, for instance, with female, whether it's staff, whether it's people that frequent his store or whatever. Now, there's fitnas there, there's fitnas that's coming through. Now, that is a fitna for that person, and that can be a means for that person to get him. Now, that person that is sitting in a hifz class, he's not confronted with that type of, of a fitna or that type of a test, because he's sitting in a hifz class. Now, this person's test is of a different type who is sitting here. That when he is sitting here, what is his, there's different types of fitnas with this, you know, our mashayikh, they were very particular about this. And especially today, you know, when we read and when we observe, you know, the fitnas that you know that are existent. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, I mean, who doesn't know his taqwa? Who doesn't know the level of taqwa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali? The Shaykh Kamil, such a great, pious person. I mean, but nafs is with everyone. So Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali once was busy with something on the upper level, some writing or something. There was something that was needed from Hazrat Abdullah Ali. So one of the responsible persons sent one youngster, beardless youngster, to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, just go ask Hazrat, you know, for whatever it was. So he went and came back. Then Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali mentioned to the person who sent him, said, in future don't make this mistake. Now look at the, you know, the level of taqwa, and look at the precaution that they are taking. Now there's no women folk, there's no young girls, but the fitna is the young boys. Now if we think that that is no fitna, then people of this caliber, people of this rank, why would they have gone to that extent to make ihtiyat? Hazrat Maulana Abrar Ul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, very particular about these types of things, to the extent he would say that from these youngsters, don't even take any khidmat. Those that don't have beard, especially beardless youngsters, don't take any khidmat from them also. That is why these things we need, you know, sometimes in our madaris we even tell the youngsters that observe who you are associating with. If you are a beardless youngster, then don't associate and don't walk around with a youngster that has got a full grown beard. Associate with those that are like you, your age group. Otherwise, even by the looks of it, it doesn't look right. It's not befitting. Now, sometimes we think, you know, this is filthy thinking. This is filthy thing. It's not filthy thinking. You know, nafs and shaitan are too shrewd. Extremely. So the fitnas and the test for different people is different in different places. Now that person who is behind counters in a shop, he's not confronted with that type of a fitna that maybe an ustad in a hifz class would be confronted with, or an ustad in a madrasa would be confronted. Now we've got young children, we are teaching them. And, you know, Allah protect these. When we don't take precaution with regards to these issues, then we see the fitnas. When we don't tie the camel, when we think that these things are just, you know, petty things, you know, why these ulama just mention things like this? Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, you know, that quite often, even when he came here to, quite often his bayanat, his majalis, his nasihat was related to the protection of the gaze and of the eyes. And so he went to one Darul Loom once, and in India, of course, and it so happened that Hadrat started the same topic, same subject again. So some alim thereafter took objection to that. So why are you only mentioning this, you know, so much other? So then Hazrat mentioned that, listen, they've got the fingers on the pulse, because the problems that they know of as far as the ummah is concerned, because they are the spiritual doctors, they know, ulama are in contact with them, mashayikh are in contact with them, those that are at the level of Shaykh al-Hadith, and they are teaching Hadith Sharif and Fiqh, they are in contact with these. So their weaknesses, these people are aware of, and that is why they are telling you, listen, if you're not careful with regards to these issues, then what the, to the extent that a youngster, don't look at him in the eye. I mean, just as you would treat, you know, a young girl, You won't look at her, you know, that's 11, 12 years of age. What's the need to look at her in the eye? This youngster who is beardless, and especially if Allah Ta'ala has given him handsomeness, then he's amrad, he's at that age. Now these are all fitnas of the time, and today it's nothing new for us. I mean, these fitnas are so open to, you know, everywhere. So Allah Ta'ala safeguard and protect us. So the challenges for different people at different places are different. It's not the same. One person at one place, he's got a challenge. Somewhere else, there's a challenge for a person in a different form. For an alim, it may be different. For a person, an ordinary person, the challenges are different. And so it is for the mashayikh as well. That is why we find that those that are at that level, they don't become unmindful of themselves. They don't become unmindful of themselves. On one occasion, when Bukhari Sharif Khatam, and the person that was making the Bukhari Sharif Khatam was none other but Sheikh Yunus Sahib Rahimahullah Damat Barakatuh, who is the Khalifa of the Sheikh Al-Hadith Rahmatullah Ali, and for years he's teaching Bukhari Sharif. In fact, Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali placed him after he left to continue. So you can imagine, a person just won't put anyone in his place. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali's rank and maqam in Hadith Sharif. So for him to have chosen a Shaykh Yunus of Dawud Barakatuh must be said. So at this scene, whilst Hazrat was conducting the dars of Bukhari Sharif, Bukhari Sharif, a big crowd and everything, you know, suddenly he gave one heavy sigh, you know. This, what happened? And it was, you know, the, what you call the zarb, what we call, you know, the illallah, you know, very heavily. Well, it's just suddenly he's teaching. And in the whole majma, he just, you know, hit the zarb on the. It didn't stop there. But then, this is how, what we are getting at, is that they are not unmindful of the islah and of the correction. So someday we think that, okay, now they are there, so they are safe, they don't worry about themselves. No, it is not like that. Because they are also human beings. They are also humans. And they are conscious about this aspect. So Hazrat didn't stop there, but rather after that, Hazrat then mentioned that there's something that came into my nerves, or something came into my heart that wasn't something good. Some thought, something came. So he said, but I had to remedy that. And see how he's remedying himself. And not only that he's, but he's even informing you that this is crushing of the nafs. This is crushing of the, that I'm doing it, and I'm even informing you that, listen, now this is how, because there is no one to tell them now, because they are at that level now. Who's going to go tell, for instance, the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali or the Shaykh Yunus Sahib Dawud Barakatuh? But they are conscious about it themselves, that listen, this is my mistake. Or if they come to know via someone, that is a different thing. But otherwise, when these things, because they are making islah of others, they themselves know that this is something that needs islah as far as my niyat is concerned, or as far as my thoughts are concerned, or is this something that I am bringing, is something that's coming from shaitan, or what is it? Now when they analyze that, and they need to make tawbah, or they need to rectify that, this is how they rectify it. So however, the aspect that is of tawbah that is very, very important, and that is that those things that have led us to these problems, whatever it is, whatever guna it may be, then every attempt be made to shun those means to that guna, to close that door, to shut that door. And inshallah, that is the first step to moving out from the problem itself. The door is shut, now you can move forward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me, bless you, bless all of us with tawfiq, hidayat and guidance to make amal. May Allah ta'ala accept the tawbah that Allah ta'ala has given us tawfiq to make with these napak tongues and from our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us steadfastness on our tawbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to continue the good a'mal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given tawfiq to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness on iman. May Allah ta'ala on our time grant us a mubarak and pleasant maut on iman, and resurrect us on the day of qiyamah with iman. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanak اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.